Today's lesson is 25 ways to be a servant leader. And we've been talking about marriage and marriage at the core, where there's two equals with different functions. We've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. The wife is the helper. The husband is the head. And that wife, her helper, that role is a nurturing role of care and support. The husband, that being the head, a leadership role of courage and responsibility. And he needs, as the head, to be a servant leader. And when you think about the whole idea of somebody being a leader, and many times we've got a picture that they have got to get it all together. I like this article called On a Wing and a Prayer by Rick Riley in Sports Illustrated. And he talks about this time where he was invited to fly in a jet. Well, let me read this to you. He says, now this message is for America's most famous athletes. Someday you may be invited to fly in the back seat of one of your country's most powerful fighter jets. Many of you already have. John Elway, John Stockton, Tiger Woods, to name a few. If you get this opportunity, let me urge you with this, the greatest sincerity. Move to Guam. Change your name. Fake your own death. Whatever you do, do not go. I know. The U.S. Navy invited me to try it. I was thrilled. I was pumped. I was toast. I should have known when they told me my pilot would be Chip Biff King of Fighter Squadron 213 at Naval Air Station Oceana in Virginia Beach. Whatever you're thinking a Top Gun named Chip Biff King looks like, triple it. He's about 6 foot, tan, ice blue eyes, wavy surfer hair, finger crippling handshake, the kind of man who wrestles alligators in his leisure time. If you see this man, run the other way, fast. Biff King was born to fly. His father, Jack King, was for years the voice of NASA missions. T-minus 15 seconds and counting. Remember? Chip would charge neighborhood kids a quarter each to hear his dad, Jack, would wake up from naps surrounded by nine-year-olds waiting for him to say, "We have liftoff." Biff was to fly me in a F-14D Tomcat, a ridiculously powerful $60 million weapon with nearly as much thrust as weight, not unlike Colin Montgomery. I was worried about getting airsick, so the night before the flight, I asked Biff if there is something I should eat the next morning. "Bananas," he said. "For the potassium?" I asked. "No," Biff said, "because they taste about the same coming up as they do going down." The next morning, out on the tarmac, I had on my flight suit with my name sewn over the left breast. No call sign, like Crash or Sticky or Leadfoot, but still very cool. I carried my helmet in the crook of my arm as Biff had instructed. If ever in my life I had a chance to take a stand, this was it. A fighter pilot named Psycho gave me a safety briefing and then fastened me into my ejection seat, which, when employed, would egress me out of the plane at such a velocity that I would be immediately knocked unconscious. Just as I was thinking about aborting the flight, the canopy closed over me, and Biff gave the ground crew a thumbs up. In minutes, we were firing nose up at 600 miles per hour. We leveled out, and then canopy rolled over another F-14. Those 20 minutes were the rush of my life. Unfortunately, the ride lasted 80. It was like being on the roller coaster at Six Flags Over Hell, only without rails. We did bear rolls, sap rolls, loops, yanks, and banks. We dived, rose, and dived again, sometimes with a vertical velocity of 10,000 feet per minute. We chased another F-14, and it chased us. We broke the speed of sound. Sea was sky, and sky was sea. Flying at 200 feet, we did 90-degree turns at 550 miles per hour, creating a G-force of 6.5, which is to say I felt as if 6.5 times my body weight was smashing against me. And I egressed the bananas. I egressed the pizza from the night before and the lunch before that. I egressed a box of Milk Duds from the sixth grade. I made Linda Blair look polite. Because of the G's, I was egressing stuff that didn't even want to be egressed. I went through not one airsick bag, but two. Biff said I passed out twice. I was coated in sweat. At one point, as we were coming in upside down in a bank curve on a mock bombing target, and the G's were flattening me like a tortilla, and I was in and out of consciousness, I realized I was the first person in history to throw down. I used to know Cool was Elway throwing a touchdown pass, or Norman making a five-iron bite. But now, I really know Cool. Cool is guys like Biff, men with cast-iron stomachs and Freon nerves. I wouldn't go up there again for Derek Jeter's black book, but I'm glad Biff does every day, and for less a year than a rookie reliever makes in a homestand. A week later, when the spins finally stopped, Biff called. He said he and the fighters had the perfect call sign for me. Said he'd send it on a patch for my flight suit. What is it? I asked. Two bags. So we can laugh with him. Well, actually, pity him, but laugh at him for what he went through. But we're called to be men. And sometimes it's harder to be what we're talking about today than what I just got done reading to you. So let's go through these 25 ways to be a servant leader. Number one, a servant leader includes his wife in envisioning the future. It's not just his plans, but what does she want to do? Two, a servant leader accepts spiritual responsibility for his family. He takes seriously the calling of God on his life as a man. Three, a servant leader is willing to say, I'm sorry and forgive me to his family. As a pastor and as a youth pastor over the years, one of the things that I saw regularly was children that dad could not say that he was sorry, could not ask for them to forgive him. And it has ramifications, deep ramifications. Number four. A servant leader discusses household responsibilities with his wife and makes sure they are fairly distributed. He makes sure that everybody is involved in the process of taking care of the home, not just his wife. Five, a servant leader seeks the consultation of his wife on all major financial decisions. There is so much truth to this. And to remember that one of the major causes of divorce is money issues. Six, a servant leader follows through with commitments he has made to his wife. He is a man of honor, and his word means what he says it means. Seven, a servant leader anticipates the different seasons his marriage will pass through. Instead of being surprised that his wife is changing, he doesn't get it. He's willing to love her through all of that and be patient with her through it all. Eight, a servant leader anticipates the different stages his children will pass through. He isn't just happy at when they're little or they're out of the way, but he looks forward to and he enjoys every age time that his children is going through. Number nine, a servant leader frequently tells his wife what he likes about her. He stops and takes a look. He tells her on a regular basis how special she is, and he's specific about it. He's not general. 10. A servant leader provides financially for his family's basic living expenses. There is security in that for the woman, that she knows a check is coming in and it's being deposited, and she can rest in that. Number 11. A servant leader deals with distractions so he can talk with his wife and family. He's not letting her be the one that's constantly telling the kids, Mom and Dad need to talk. He is the one that takes the step and tells his children, Mom and Dad are going to be talking right now. Please allow us to do that. 12. A servant leader prays with his wife on a regular basis, that she knows that he wants to be the spiritual leader, and he doesn't have to use big fancy words, just knowing that he's making the effort to pray. 13. A servant leader initiates meaningful family traditions. if you think back over the years, the things that were dear to a family, sometimes it's stuff that you're like, really? That was the thing? But it meant the world to the kids. And he's the one that's willing to take the stand and talk with her and plan those things out. The children definitely love it. 14, a servant leader plans fun outings for the family on a regular basis. You as dad, don't have mom be the one that's always the one putting the field trip together. You be willing to think about it and plan it just as much as whatever that thing is that you're completely fascinated or you just love doing. 15, a servant leader takes the time to give his children practical instruction about life, which in turn gives them confidence with their peers. Dad, you should be the one that when your children think about wisdom, that they think, Dad knows something about this. He's got wisdom on different issues, and you're willing to share that. You aren't always the silent one. 16, a servant leader manages the schedule of the home and anticipates any pressure points. You talk about this, you get a calendar out, you look over and you decide with your wife how things are going to look, how things are going to go. 17, a servant leader keeps his family financially sound and out of harmful debt. Once again, just a reminder that it's such an important thing for a man to give his wife, his children, the security that they need to have. 18, a servant leader makes sure he and his wife have drawn up a will and arranged a well-conceived plan for their children in case of death. This is a very loving thing to do. 19, a servant leader lets his wife and children into the interior of his life. I remember the stories that my dad would tell, and every now and then when he would get, he'd tell me these family stories and things that happened when he was younger and allowing me to see that part of his life. It meant the world to me. 20, a servant leader honors his wife often in public, that she knows she is not going to be embarrassed by you, that she's going to be, know that she is respected and you appreciate her so much. 21, a servant leader explains sex to each child in a way that gives them wholesome perspective. When we were dealing with our kids, I took both boys on trips, and my wife took our daughter, and as a result of that, we played the James Dobson tapes at that time, CD, Preparing for Adolescence, and it was such a good thing to be involved in. 22, a servant leader encourages his wife to grow as an individual. Are all the plans your plans? What about her goals? What would she want to accomplish? 23, a servant leader takes the lead in establishing with his wife sound, biblically supportive family values. What is your family known for? 24, a servant leader joins a small group of men who are dedicated to improving their skills as a man, husband, and father. Just the fact that you're listening to this today says that this is something that's important to you. And then 25, a servant leader provides time for his wife to pursue her own personal interests. Have you taken the time to have her find out if what she wants to pursue is important to you too? So look back over the list of the 25 ways to be a servant leader. Which one or two ways stood out to you today as must-dos to improve your servant leadership? And could you explain that? Secondly, what on this list of 25 do you feel most intimidated by? And why is that the case? And then thirdly, which of these 25 would your wife say she needs most from you? And then why? A good list, something that you can get a hold of and shoot for, something to get better at.